The following is a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. Hollywood, redefined. From Los Angeles, California, streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is Black Hollywood Live, The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood, redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host of Black Hollywood Live, The Beat.
Hey guys, welcome to Black Hollywood Live's The Beat. It's your boy DJ Jesse Janity here in studio. Unfortunately, Queen couldn't come today, and I know she would have had a blast today because she would have just been all over you, but that's fine. I'll be in studio by myself with the one and only Marcus Houston.
Hey, hey, hey.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank y'all for having me.
I was enjoying myself watching your latest project,
yes.
Will to Love, last night.
Will to Love, yes.
Great movie.
Thank you very much. Will to Love is, of course, out today on DVD and digital HD. You can download it on iTunes and Amazon. It's a great movie featuring myself, Keisha Knight Pulliam, and the lovely Drea Michelle.
And I got to say, though, watching it, who plays your sister, Chandrella?
Chandrella.
She did a great job because Chandrella she made me hate her in the movie. I was right. Like, this is your sister?
She's one of the most incredible comedians that I've worked with. We actually worked together years ago on Cuts.
Oh, really?
We had a show together on UPN. Yeah. So that's how we met. And ever since then, we became like real brother and sister. So, you know, we always would say, you know, we got to work together again. And the opportunity presented itself with Will of Love, and we did it.
And I have to ask you this because it was killing me throughout the whole movie. Where you guys shot at your grandfather's house? Was that the nanny's house? The house from the nanny?
No.
It looked just like the entrance to the house from the nanny. Oh my God, that's so interesting. Okay, well, never mind. All right, so the movie is you play a CEO of a multi-million dollar company.
Yes, yes.
And your grandfather is about to pass, and he says, if you want the estate,
exactly,
you got to find yourself some love.
And get you a wife.
Yes.
Yes.
So, now, is this something that you go through in real life? Is this something where you focus so heavily on work?
You know, I actually feel like it's very important to have a balance between work and your personal life. Also, you have to respect that privacy boundary as well, because you know a lot of your life is out there in the public. So you know if you don't have that sacred, you know, personal life that you can call your own when the chaos is done, you can kind of just go home and chill with your friends and your loved ones and everything like that. Even if you're in a relationship, I feel like you need that balance. So you know it's very important for me to get my work done because I'm definitely all about my business and all about my work. But it's also more important for me to give attention and time to those I love.
So this was a little bit difficult role for you to have to play this character who does not understand love.
Exactly. Me, I'm all about love. Love is first in my book. That's over everything. Well, God is first. Love is second. And so with me, my family, my relationships with my friends and my family and my personal relationships with my woman and stuff like that, that's all to me, you know, that's what holds me down. You know what I mean? This industry can get crazy. As sometimes it can go up, it can go down. You never know what's going to happen, what kind of curveball is going to get thrown at you. And that foundation of people that you love, that's your inner circle, that's what's most important. Because if you don't have that, you could lose it all.
Mm. You know, that's interesting. Yeah. Because it gets to a point where you know you've been in this industry for so long,
yeah,
and seen the ups and downs of R&B, not even to touch into other music,
yeah.
Being an artist in the industry, also, there gets a point of, I don't know if it's creative depression, but to the point of like where you get these highs and these lows.
Yeah.
You know, for you, what is something that kind of has helped you get through all of that?
What balances me is having God in my life. Keeping God first, you know, God has definitely blessed me with an outstanding career to be able to be in a position. You want to get in a position to where you can do what you love, because I've always said, you know, the minute I don't love it, it becomes work. I don't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. So I get to do what I love and I get to make my own schedule and balance my life the way I want to, you know, the way I see fit. And becoming a man is that's what's most important. You know, when you're a kid, you know, I got into the industry when I was 8 years old. Everything was all fun and games. You know, when a teenager, you just want to go run wild and chase girls. And then, you know, when you get into your 20s, you kind of start thinking about your future, but still not yet. You know, especially being a celebrity, mm-hmm. all these girls, you know, coming at you and all this fame and stuff like that, it can go to your head. So you have to try to balance that. And then, you know, you hit your 30s and it's like you start thinking about real life. You know, what am I going to do with my future? You know, yeah, sure, you can have all this money and everything, but you have to understand that if you don't have a balance with, you know, relationship and who you're going to find as a wife, and you just start thinking, you know, do I want to get married one day? Do I want to have a family of my own? You know, you got to start thinking of that, because what people don't understand is us as, you know, the people that go out there and make movies and we sing and everything like that. I don't like to use the word celebrities, but, you know, us as celebrities, you know, everybody's the same. You know, we're all working towards a goal in life. You know, I'm no different from a guy that works at Target that's working at a goal to say, you know, one day I'm going to own a Target.
Different goal.
Or one day I'm going to do this. Or, you know, we all just are people in this melting pot, and we all have different goals for ourselves. But at the end of the day, we're people. We're human beings first. And we have to, you know, once you get a little older, you start having to think about that. Like, you know, I'm a human first. So what do I want to do that's going to make me happy for the rest of my life? And that's where I am at this point in my life. I love being happy. I love making movies. I love making music. And I'd do it for free if I had to, because it's just something that I love doing, you know?
Was that something that hard for you? I do stand-up comedy, and so for me, I get to a point where I balance out of, like, because you were saying to me before, I don't really curse. In this industry, sometimes you get forced to do certain things. Is that, are you very selective about the things and projects that you work with?
Yes, I'm very, very selective about the projects that I do, because, for one, you know, a lot of entertainers out there, you know, become uncomfortable with being role models, but I've always seen myself as a role model and said, you know, I do have people that look at me, you know, they're young guys and girls out there that look to us as, you know, their role models, because they may not have parents and they might not have, you know, someone to look up to. And I, for one, feel like it's very important to always have somebody to look up to, so you can have some kind of dream and some kind of dream to chase. You know, as long as you're chasing the dream, like, you'll be okay.
Sorry, I just cut you off. If you were to put yourself, if you put yourself on a public platform, do you feel like there is a little responsibility within you to try and pull out a role model?
100%. 100%. I feel like, you know, us as artists and actors and singers and everything, we have that responsibility. It comes with the job. It comes with the territory, just like people trying to tear you down off that platform. You know, it all comes with the territory, and you have to be conscious of that. And you have to say, it's like if you're gonna work at a job that requires you chopping down trees for 12 hours a day, and then you say, well, I don't really like wood, that doesn't really make sense, then don't take that job.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So the jobs that we have as role models, I feel like it's important for us to set examples for the young kids that are watching us growing up, that are going to say, you know, I want to be like him, because you know that's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's important to really, you know, pay attention to the things that you do, the kind of projects that you do. And I feel like somebody that's done it extremely well is somebody I've looked up to my entire career was Will Smith. I feel like, you know, he's done an extremely well job of being a role model to up and coming actors out there, being a great father, a great husband. You know, I feel like he's a great role model to you know, someone like me.
It's funny you said that, because while I was watching Will to Love, I was saying he needs a 2015 Marcus Houston needs a TV show.
I do, like, man. Yeah,
I'm well aware that you've been on TV shows, but you need a bro show. Like, watching this, I was like, you are like, Will Smith came to my mind watching that.
Yeah.
It was just like, and consistently in the work that you've done, you always come off as a good-hearted person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Even, like, to go back to Roger, it's just like you always come out, your character, your personality shows through your character.
Yeah.
And I was just saying that last night. I was like, this guy needs a TV show.
Well, thank you.
So let's get that out there.
That's a very big compliment. Yes, okay. Yes, definitely a TV show. I actually like to put a little bit of myself into every character, because the guys that have done it before me, like Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, I grew up watching Jamie Foxx and people like that, Eddie Murphy, you can tell they kind of put a little bit of their personality into every character that they've done, you know, and that's what I like to do. I like to come across, because at the end of my legacy, if I died today, if I died tomorrow, the main thing I would want people to want to feel about me is, you know, Marcus was a good person.
Mm.
Forget about, oh, he was talented, he was a great singer, he was a great actor. Forget about all that. I would want them to say he was a great person, you know, and that showcased through the work that he did. And that's what I want. I want to be able to showcase that, you know, I try to be a great person. I mean, no one's perfect. We all make mistakes, but, you know, I try my best to be a role model to the kids out there and really show them that there is a more positive way than, you know, drugs, violence, alcohol, and stuff like that. You know, I don't drink, I don't smoke or do anything like that. And, you know,
is that ever, or you were never?
I've tried tried stuff when I was younger, you know, but growing up as an adult, I never really had an interest for it, because my interest was entertaining people. I've entertained people since I was little, you know, dancing at mm-hmm. my house and doing. So I've always wanted to entertain people, and I've always wanted to be a positive role model. So, you know, that it's always, this was a good business for me, you know, to be able to entertain and be a role model as well.
You posted something on Instagram, and it was this meme, and it's Jesus, and he's holding a big stuffed animal behind his back.
Yeah.
And there's a little girl, and she's doesn't want to give up her stuffed teddy animal. Bear. And it said, just trust me.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you, and how has that kind of been something in your life?
To me, like I said, God is number one, and God is most important to me. And I feel like, you know, that just shows that you have to trust God, you know, and something can be, it's not always what's in front of you that you see, but it could be the things invisible to us that we don't see, the blessing that we're going to receive that you don't have no clue about. And you could think that you holding on, she's holding on to that little teddy bear. And it's like, but I really, really like it. But then he has this big grander version of what she has behind her back, and it's like, just trust me. So it just shows me to put all of my trust and faith in God, and that's what I do.
So you've worked on many TV shows, worked on your own albums, been in groups.
Yeah.
Will to Love, what was different about working on this project versus some of the other stuff you've done?
Well, from the ground up, I helped write it and produce it as well with Chaz Echoes and Chris Stokes. So I was part of the entire process from the ground up, like with the idea, coming up with the script.
How did that come about?
Well, we wanted to do something that was kind of like, you know, original and witty. Like, I love those witty comedies that are really romantic comedies that make you laugh and also make you cry. Those are like my favorite movies. Yep. Other than action. Action would have to be my other favorite. But, you know, I love movies that you can watch and you feel good and you can connect to the characters and you really put yourself in that situation. So it was like, what can we do that, because we started our film company, Footage Films, and we're really focused on giving new talent out there, like you mentioned, Alfred Nolan Thomas, mm-hmm. you know, people like him, allowing him to have that opportunity to shine and get his out there, because he's a funny, funny comedian. Yes, he's a really funny guy, and he's a great person. But there may not be a lot of opportunities for us as African-American filmmakers or actors or anything. So, you know, the more opportunities we can create, I think the better we become. And, you know, with this one, we wanted to do something that was just a great movie. Like, when I think of movies, I don't think of African-American cast or white cast or anything typecast. I think, look, how can we do a great movie? And with this movie, Will to Love, we're like, we just want to come with something original, something that can make people be like, oh man, what would I do if I was in that position? Because that's what you want to feel ultimately when you watch the movie, like, oh my gosh, what would I do? So this is one of those what would I do films, and you watch and you're like, man, if I was hit with that, you know, what would I do? So that's how the idea came about. And then we got the script together, and I knew exactly who I wanted to play the characters. I knew I wanted Keisha, and I knew I wanted Treya.
Oh, so you wrote it knowing,
right? knowing with them in mind, and myself in mind as well. So, you know, they're friends of mine, and I just reached out to them. I was like, hey, you know, I have this project, and are you available? Let's make it happen. And they were both available, luckily, and we made it happen.
Yeah, so you guys did make that happen.
Yes.
So it's available out on DVD now.
Yes.
We're working on another project. Yes. I see something with Carucci out
there. Yeah, Carucci and I just finished a new film upcoming, another romantic comedy. But this one is, like, Wheels of Love is a romantic comedy, but it was more based on a dramedy.
Mm-hmm.
This next one that I just did with Carucci is, like, strictly funny.
Now, were you
like
writing, helping in the process for that?
Writing and produced this one as well. I started in as well. We also have Clifton Powell, Wendy Raquel Robinson, Chandrella Avery is in it again. Alfred Nolan Thomas is in it again as well. And Dorian Wilson. So we have an extremely funny cast, and this movie is just going to knock your socks off. It's going to be hilarious at his theaters sometime early next year. You know, so we're really excited about that, and just putting Footage Films on the map and really doing these movies that are really great movies,
good-hearted movies.
Exactly.
That's fun. I love that you have some of the same cast from the first one.
Yeah.
Because one thing I noticed about you is you're a big supporter of your peers.
I am.
And that's really impressive nowadays, because a lot of times you go on people's social media and they're never promoting other things, or it comes off like they're promoting for a marketing reason.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yours comes out very genuine.
You know, I have a lot of friends in this industry, and, you know, I like to support them, because I feel like the more we can support each other, the bigger we can be. You know, I hate the fact that social media tries to always, you know, create certain beefs and create people feuding and everything like that. I feel like, you know, there's room for everybody in this business. It's a huge industry where we can all be successful at it. And I'm the first one to support any of my friends that are doing, because, you know, it, and vice versa. You know, if I need support, they're there for me as well. And, you know, I'm not even the kind of person that's like tit for tat. Oh, support something for me. I support everything. If, like you said, I'm a very big supporter of my peers and I support everything. So, you know, it's on them if they want to support what I'm doing, because sometimes people don't want to support, you know, but you got to just think to yourself like, hey, I've never been the kind of person that'll do something based off of what somebody's going to do for me. If I love you, I love you. You know, if I'm down with you, I'm down with you. Don't matter what, you know, what you feel, you know, that's just how I am.
So being in the industry this long, you, in the 90s, there were so many African-American TV shows that came out. Most of them were comedy based. Have you noticed? And then it kind of died down and then it's starting to come back around. Are you seeing a difference behind the scenes as far as opportunities?
Well,
as far as like,
definitely whenever you have, African-American shows or movies that are doing really well, then, you know, it creates a demand for it in the marketplace, and that creates opportunity for other African-American actors. And to me, I'm not too big on the, you know, African-American thing or the white thing. I feel like we can all get it. You know, there's so many upcoming comedians or talented people that are not just comedians but just actors that deserve an opportunity. You got the Spanish community that's coming up. You also have the Asian community that's coming up, you know, with Dr. Ken, you know, and I've seen a couple of Asian shows that have come on
the
TV
fresh
lately.
Off the boat
it's like, so you have, you know, everybody, just because, you know, you shouldn't be judged on the color of your skin. And this is black, white, Asian, whatever you are. You know, if you're talented and you want to pursue your dream, you should have the opportunity to. So I appreciate how diverse the industry is getting right now, because it creates opportunities for everybody. It's just like when the president says, you know, I'm going to create job opportunities for everybody. Same in our business. We're still doing a job, you know, and we get paid for the work that we do. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's still the job that we do, and we take it seriously. So the more jobs that can be created, the better for everybody.
Let's just put life on TV.
That's right, man.
That's all it is. So, okay, now music-wise.
Yeah.
What are we working on right now? Well, actually, before you say that, I want to play this video, is off of the soundtrack,
yes.
Will to Love.
Yes.
It's called Need You.
Yeah.
And we have a video for it, too.
Okay, yeah.
Let's take a look. Was this shot in L.A.?
Yeah.
They used to call me the lucky one, lucky one, until my luck ran out. Ooh. Now they can't call me the lucky one, lucky one, 'cause I lost you out of my life. Yeah. I said that I was different from the mother hitters, but still I left you in tears. Tell me, what's the difference? So you were more than a fling, but I made a mess of everything. I messed up everything. Girl, I need you back in my life. Girl, I need you back in my life. Girl, I need you back in my life. Don't go.
Marcus Houston, Need You. I love that song. That song is everything. It brings me to a nostalgic place.
Thank you so much.
R&B today. It's kind of a little different.
Yeah, it is.
What are your thoughts? I mean, people say, this is what I always hate that people say. Mm-hmm. Let's bring R&B back.
Well, you know what? It's not about bringing R&B back, because you have to evolve. It's like the human species has evolved. You know, there's... evolution is evident within our career and our you know, our field of industry and then what we work. You know, you have to think about how TV, films, everything has evolved. You have to think about Netflix and how big that's become, and online streaming television. Back before, when I used to watch TV, it was only a few channels, and now you have so many other channels. So every industry evolves, and it's not about bringing R&B back. But it's about, if that's the kind of music that you love and that you want to make, then you make that music and you put it out and you believe in it. It doesn't matter if it catches or anybody else believes in it. As long as you're doing what you believe in, I feel like that's the most important thing. It may not be that R&B music is popular right nowadays because the new generation of kids out there didn't really grow up listening to R&B or Jagged Edge or Jodeci or Immature or, you know what I'm saying, and the Soul for Real is Candy Rain. It's the stuff that we grew up listening to. It could be that it's R&B has evolved into something different. You know, you don't have NSYNCs anymore, you know, and you don't have the Britney Spears anymore. You have this new EDM and you have this new pop music. So everything is evolving. I don't think it should just be, you know, focused on bringing R&B back, but maybe R&B is evolving. And maybe that us as artists have to say, you know, how has R&B evolved and how can we evolve with this R&B music or create a new style of R&B music? It's just like Michael Jackson. He was doing R&B and he created a new style, added a little rock guitar in it, and he had, you know, Billie Jean was, you know, so everything he did was
consistent to his sound.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what you got to do. You just got to be consistent to what you believe in. It's like Sam Smith. You know, a lot of people can say, well, Sam Smith is doing black music. There's no such thing as black or white music. You know, it's music. Mm-hmm. It's all music. It's what you feel inside, you know. So I think as far as R&B coming back, I think, you know, if you can make a great album, whether it's R&B or considered R&B or classic, whatever it is, classic rock, whatever it is, do you and be true to it, and I think you'll be successful at it.
Mm. Love that. 'Cause it gets to the point, I feel like if you want that music, it's out there.
It is. Definitely.
Just go get it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, it's exactly, on iTunes. Exactly. You can download the Need to Know right now.
The evolution of music. You had to go buy music nowadays. Downloading and free music has become the thing now, you know, and it's okay. You know, before when we had Napster, when it first broke into the business, it was like, oh my gosh, Red X is everywhere. But now it's okay. You know, so it's just an evolution of where music is going. And I feel like music to be broadcast for free or not for free or however you want to get your music, it's still the soundtrack of life, you know, and we have to pay attention to that.
Why do you feel like we haven't seen a group out in a while? Why do you think that is? It's so hard. I mean, I guess we see these independent artists coming up off of YouTube and things like that. Yeah, and it's like, okay, they'll have a song for like a month or two. Uh-huh. And then it's like, it kind of goes somewhere else and it's on to the next person. Why aren't we seeing any groups? Why aren't we seeing that pop that came out in like the early 2000s?
I'll tell you why. So many people are, the way the music industry portrays the lifestyle of it nowadays, it's all about you got to get yours. You got to get your money. So everything is portrayed as solo, solo, solo. You got to be out for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no real unity in the world anymore. And, you know, groups are units. You know, you have to be able to be around these people every day. And, you know, we've seen so many TV shows and television shows showing us and telling our brains that people don't get along with each other, especially in groups, and none of them ever work out. So it's like, I'm not going to say it's brainwashing, but it's kind of like persuading the image of groups, boy bands, girl groups, like in a negative, you know, light. Mm-hmm. So people feel like, well, I don't want to be in a group because I'm not going to be able to get along. I'd rather get mine solo. But I feel like, you know, it'll come back because you have One Direction, who's huge. You know what I'm saying? And it'll come back to that. You know, everything is full circle. It always comes back. It's just like, you know, styles and trends and everything. It'll go, fashion will go this far and it'll get played out. And then all of a sudden it'll come back and then you see people rocking flat tops now. Yep. You know, you see people rocking afros now. And it's the style, you know, back in the day when my dad had an afro, you know, back before I was born. So, you know, afros went away and then they came back. And flat tops, you know, I had a flat top when I was like 6-7, you know, and then they went away.
You've got a lot of hairstyles.
Exactly, that's true.
So, you have gone through a lot.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, everything just kind of comes back full circle. So you just gotta ride the wave, man.
One, I just want to say I'm very thankful that you have not appeared and been on Love and Hip Hop. I just want to say that. I just had to put that out there. I do an after show for Love and Hip Hop, and when Omarion and Fizz came on, I was just like, but they get a good, well, Omarion gets a great edit. So I'm just thankful.
You know what it is? I think, reality TV has never been for me. You know, I've been offered so many shows and so many opportunities to do reality TV. I thought about it once, you know, me and my girl had a few, ideas and shows that were pitched at us and stuff like that. We thought about it, but, you know, I enjoy my privacy. I enjoy separating my personal life from my entertainment life. And reality TV just puts too much out there.
And especially how you said, the way, things are portrayed.
Yeah, exactly.
And it kind of is like, if you don't have that power, which that's what I'm assuming you're building towards, because getting into the producing, the writing for a film,
exactly.
You know, you can work towards that kind of credit. Do you feel like there's a kind of a false, that more so TV media has influenced music so much that now music almost isn't its own genre?
I agree. I definitely feel like it's been, you know, kind of put together. And, you know, with reality TV as well, you know, you get to, and social media, I think reality TV, social media, everything has made it to where, you know, before, when artists would put out music, we kind of dictated to the fans what they wanted to hear. Now it's kind of like the other way around. Fans will kind of dictate to the artists what they want to hear, and they feel like they can have an opinion, and everybody feels like they can just jump in your personal life or your business life and say what they feel, because social media has created the platform for people out there that never had a voice to have a voice. And everybody wants a voice. Everybody's trying to get famous. Everybody's trying to make a name for themselves, however and however they can get it. You know, even if they have to do the wrong things or, you know, talk about people to get famous. You know, and to me, you know, it's never worth selling your soul to be famous. Fame is not what it's all cracked up to be. I mean, it can be good if you utilize it in a good way, and you keep God first and you stay humble and you understand what the priorities are. But sometimes fame can be like a drug. It can become addictive, and you can do whatever you want or whatever you have to do. You feel like, I got to do whatever I got to do to stay relevant or stay popular or stay famous, and then you can fall into that as well. So it's just like I said in the beginning, it's just that balance of what you want your life and what you want your legacy to be. And fame is not everything. So, you know, it is coming to a point where, you know, social media, television has influenced a lot of music. So I don't think people are focused on real music anymore as much as I'm trying to get on.
What's pop right now.
Exactly. I'm trying to be popular.
Do you feel like there's, as far as the music industry goes, people have kind of tainted the fact that you can take a, basically that there aren't artists in. It comes across like there's not a lot of artists anymore, in that it's more who can be the triple threat, who can be the, what we can visually put out there as Beyonce.
Yeah.
And do you feel like that
it's marketable.
That came from, because when you came out, there was artist development.
It was.
And so you had people above you, mentors, who
That's
were
true.
Grooming you guys
That's
and
true.
Like saying like, no, don't do this, stay in this lane. And, and now it's, do you feel like it's created a sloppy Hollywood? Like, not sloppy, but sloppy business-wise.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I do feel like it's created not a sloppy Hollywood or a sloppy business, but what is created is kind of like if we were at war and everything was structured, say you fought a structured way, now it's every man for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a war, the same war is going on, but now there's no teams, there's no, you know, organization. It's just whoever you got to kill to get to the top.
But why, and when did that stop? Like, when did you notice that?
I think it years and years ago, when social media started becoming so popular, and you have, you know, nothing against like Justin Bieber. I feel like he's an incredible artist. I really like Justin Bieber. He's a talented young kid. But you have Justin Bieber's kind of breaking off the internet.
Yeah.
So you feel like, oh, Justin did it, I could do it. And then you had like one reality show, which turned into another reality show, and everybody felt like, okay, now I want to be a reality TV star, and I got to be big, and I got to be this. And, you know, same with the Kardashians. They kind of shattered the mold of, you know, what popularity was ever going to be, you know, and they did it well. And I feel like a lot of people talk, they say, oh, the Kardashians, you can say what you want, but
they built an empire
off of reality TV. So everybody now feels like they can do that. And I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about what makes the Kardashians different is they did something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be different.
Like, there can't be another Kardashians.
There's not going to be another Kardashians. Exactly.
Like, your family ain't going to be that popular.
You know what I'm saying? So what you have to do is figure out what you can do to be different, because all they did was do something different and it worked. And that's same with Michael Jackson, same with our icons out there. All the iconic artists and actors and everybody you see, they broke by being different. And I think that's what, there's not enough originality, mm-hmm. because we don't have any artist developers. Exactly. And the labels don't take the time to artist develop, because you can go on YouTube and put out a record yourself, mm-hmm. and become popular overnight. So that
Or you could put 15 seconds up on Vine.
That's true.
And become super famous.
Exactly. That's very, very true. Six seconds.
Yes, 6 seconds.
In six seconds, we have 6 second superstars, which I'm not opposed to because that's evolution. Mm. You know?
All right. So before we wrap up, I just have to tell you this story. I've been debating if I'm going to tell you this in my head. The first time I ever knew about Marcus Houston. Uh-huh. So I was younger. My friend, I'm not even going to put her name. Her name was Kim, but I'm going to put her whole name out there. She's just going to be so excited that I'm even doing this. Okay. Interview. The first time I ever knew about Marcus Houston, I walked into her bedroom. I don't even know how young I was. Walked into her bedroom, and it looked like CSI, Criminal Minds. I'm like, where did you get all of these shirtless pictures from?
Yeah,
on the walls. Uh-huh. And I fell in love with Stay the Night.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And it was the first song I've ever performed in a talent show.
Really?
Yes, it was. That's I just dope. Felt like I had to tell you that.
I like
when
that.
Am I ever going to get a chance
that.
To tell you
well, that? Well, I performed the ABC song at one of the first talent shows I did.
Really?
Yep. So that's what kind of got me discovered. So,
who were your biggest influences growing up?
Michael Jackson, Temptations, Marvin Gaye, and Another Bad Creation. Mm. They really showed me that I could do it so young because they were so young.
Yep.
So they're who really like, I love the Jackson 5 and I grew up in a family of music. Like my mom and dad played all kind of oldies and stuff, but they're the group that made me feel like they're my age doing it. So I could do it, you know, so.
And I actually couldn't go to you guys' concert. So the backup, I had held it against my family. All right. But, Will to Love, yes. Available right now on DVD.
Available on DVD. Go to your local Walmart, pick it up on DVD, or you can either download it on iTunes and Amazon. But definitely get it. It's a really great movie. Again, Drea Michelle, Keisha Knight Pulley, and myself. And I think it's a great project. It's a family fun project that everybody can enjoy. All genres. You know, no matter what you like to watch, you can definitely watch this movie and enjoy it.
And the album also available on iTunes?
Album's not available yet.
Okay.
Album's coming soon, but some new music just dropped today. It's called Half on a New Song that you'll be hearing from really soon.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for just being a role model.
No
being
problem.
Able to be in this industry for this long and to come across as humble and consistent
thank
as
you, so
you have been.
I mean, that I give all praises to God. That's the man upstairs. That is who I put first in everything I do.
And where can everyone keep in contact with you?
Twitter and Instagram at Marcus Houston, MarquesHouston.
Boom. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys check us out every Friday at 1 p.m. Black Hollywood Live, The Beat. And hit me up at DJ Jesse J. Also tweet us at BHL Online. And on Instagram, we are The Beat TV. Till next week, same time, same place. Peace.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Music Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.